the perspective, at least that our kids get, is Memorial Day is the unofficial beginning of?
Summer.
There we go. Memorial is just another day at the end of the school year we get off. Memorial Day is just another day we get together and go have fun because it's nice outside. Memorial Day ends up being the last Sunday of the month, or the last weekend of the month, and so, man, we have an early afternoon service on Sunday, and man, we just get the rest of the week. It's just a fun time. Well, the reality is there's all sorts of fun memories and fun things that we can do this weekend. But if we stop to realize what Memorial Day has been set aside for, it does bring some somberness, some reality. Memorial Day is a time that we honor, if you will, we honor the dead. Those who have given their life for service. Now in November we have a day we call Veterans Day, where we honor all those who have served. But there's something that our nation has done special as setting apart Memorial Day. There have been many who have died in the service of our nation. Many who have given their lives so that you and I can have the freedoms that we have. In just a few weeks here, not too long, we'll celebrate July 4. And we'll remember the freedoms that we have as a nation. And as we look back to the 1700s, 1776, and we see the battles that were fought, many gave their lives so that you and I, in 2018, could have the freedom to go to church where we please. To worship God, not just how we please, but really what we believe, as the Bible teaches us. But that we can have those freedoms. That we can have the freedom to work and choose where we're going to work. We can have freedoms to choose the foods we want to eat, the places we want to go. There are many freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day. It was a day set aside to decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers. Just to honor them. Again, not to glorify them. Not that they're do everything. Because in fact, as we look back at the history of our nation, the early founders of our nation realized that, yes, people gave their life for our freedoms, but ultimately it was God who was in control and has given us the freedoms that we have. Decoration Day originated in the years following the Civil War. First, it was official federal holiday in 1971. Some of you may remember that. Some of you are like, I don't know what the 70s looked like. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries or memorials, holding family gatherings, and participating in parades. Memorial Day is different. And I want to encourage you, however you do it, whether it's through an event or whether it's time alone, but that you take some time to praise the Lord for those who have given their lives for our freedoms, who made what we would call the ultimate sacrifice. In fact, Jesus, as we already referred to this passage, Jesus said, no greater love than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And yes, Jesus gave us so much as he laid down his life for us, giving his life on the cross for our sins, in a freedom that no one else could give us. But as we think about the men and the women who have died in the service of our nation, they've died so that we could have many different freedoms. Let's take time and praise God for them. And praise God for those who are currently serving. Yes, it's Memorial Day, but we can praise God for those who have served and not died. Many of you here who have served and your life wasn't taken from you. And let's take time this Memorial Day weekend to pray for our nation. Pray for those who are serving, but pray that we would use the freedoms that we're remembering those who gave themselves for, that we would use the freedoms we have to glorify our God in the best way that we can. Before we get into the Word of God this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we do thank you for your love. We thank you for your watch care. God, we thank you for the many men and women throughout the years who have given their lives for our freedoms. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us as believers. That as it was mentioned, that God, we would pray for revival, that you would use us in a special way through the freedoms that you've given to us, that people have fought for, not just so that we can go to church, but so we can share others the great love that Christ has for us. We thank you. And we ask that as we get into the Word this morning, that you would challenge us to memorialize, to focus on that which is ultimately most important. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? As believers, there is something special about us. Not us, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as we pause to remember all that has been given to us, we praise God. Now, as Paul continues on in this passage, he says, if I defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Some what we would call oxymorons in this verse. An oxymoron being something that just doesn't seem to make sense. So melted Hershey kisses, right? That just doesn't make sense. We can say all sorts of things in life that doesn't make sense. Well, here in this verse, Paul is saying the fool and the wise and what's going on and how do we balance this and what do we look at? He starts out first with this phrase, let no man deceive himself. How many of you hate being lied to? Man, I'd rather my kids do all sorts of things, and I wouldn't, but I'd rather them do them and tell the truth than to lie about it. One of the things I was taught as a kid is, do not lie. In fact, there are times where if my child will tell me the truth in a certain situation, the discipline will be less than it would have been. Because I want them to see the reality that truth is so important. Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Well, here specifically Paul says, let no man, what? Deceive himself. Man, I hate being lied to and believing that lie. But you know what's even worse? Lying to myself and believing that lie. I'm okay. I'm doing good. Remember, we're in this context here. Paul talked about in the first part of this chapter, babes in Christ. Are you thinking like a baby? Remember, and then he talked about building. Am I building the building of God? What am I building in my life? And then he reminds us in verse 16, ye are the temple of God. So, don't deceive yourself. Don't think that you can live this Christian life in a worldly way, doing the things and the philosophy of the world. There are some certain things in life that we must focus on. Memorial Day weekend, we focus on those who have given their lives for our nation. Again, we praise the Lord for the many veterans, but Memorial Day and Veterans Day is different. There's a different focus. And as believers, there's something that we must focus on. There are two different things. Actually, we're going to look at three different things we can focus on, but two results of that. Number one, focusing on worldly wisdom is deception. Focusing on worldly wisdom is deception. He says, let no man deceive himself. Paul warns against deception in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn just a couple pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Start in verse 8. He says, nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not, what? deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, as a sinner, man, I struggle with sin. And we see believers who struggle with some of these things. Paul says, just because you sin, that doesn't mean you don't get to go to heaven. Look what he says in verse 11. And such what? Were some of you. At salvation, there's a change. He says, don't deceive yourselves. Be not deceived. Let's not just look at the unsaved world and say, well, you're good. There are so many religions out there that say, you're okay. You're good. Just believe in God. But it's so more than acknowledging that there is a God. It's that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He gave the ultimate sacrifice when he gave his life for you and for me. Focusing on worldly wisdom is deception, whether it's in a religious setting or whether it's in a secular setting. Deception hurts in the long run. It's never a positive thing. Now, sometimes it's short-lived, and it might seem like it got us out of trouble until you have to tell a bigger lie because, man, now that came out and lying never pays off. And lying to ourselves never pays off. Not acknowledging the truth about me and who I am and my struggles. Deception hurts in the long run. And Paul goes on. There are so many people who can deceive us. But again, don't deceive yourself. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Deception. If you seem to be wise in the world, deception is when you think you're good. I look at my life compared to others and I say, I'm pretty good. Now, most of us, in fact, I think every one of us in here, can look at our lives compared to someone else and say, I'm what? Pretty good. But the reality is, I can't compare myself with the world. I can't look at myself according to the worldly wisdom. I must look at my life and my character according to God's wisdom. Focusing on worldly wisdom is deception. Remember, throughout the first part of this book, Paul continues to go back to, some say thereof, Paul, some of Apollos, some of Cephas. Some say, well, I'm of Christ, and that makes me all good. And they're vaunting, they're lifting up their leader. They're glorifying men. God uses men, and there is a place for due honor. But here Paul says, don't be deceived. It's not about just these men. In fact, those who followed Apollos was known to have the silver tongue. He was the orator. He was a smooth speaker. We've all heard smooth speakers. And for a while, may even have believed them. But it's not just the speaking. It's the truth behind the words. Many who followed Apollos vaunted their esoteric knowledge. The word esoteric mean likely to understood by only a small group. We're pretty good. We follow Apollos. We understand what he's saying. We've got this knowledge. We're set. The reality, as Paul says, don't deceive yourself. Don't believe that just because you understand certain things makes you good and right. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Worldly wisdom is foolishness with God. Foolishness, silly. Silliness or absurdity with God. We look at our way of understanding life in this world and it just seems good. Sometimes we look at teenagers, sometimes as adults we look at teenagers and say, I wish you would just understand how this works, right? So many different things. I was talking with a dad the other day about why he wasn't going to let his son get a driver's license at 16. Just because he just needed some more maturity behind that. So he could see life from a different vantage point. And yet then, when we, how many of you remember being 16? When we were 16, we thought we knew it. We had it all together. Then we turned 20. It's like, man, I didn't have it, but I sure do now. And the older we get, the more we realize we don't have it. And as we look at ourselves in light of God's word, we realize that worldly wisdom is foolishness with God. You think of the wisdom of a child versus that of a parent. There are so many things that our kids just think, well, this is a good idea. And we're like, don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself. But it looks fun. I think I'll be okay. The reality is sometimes that's how we as adults look at life, and we don't look at it from God's wisdom. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And we must see life through His eyes and His perspective. The wisdom of this world, the world here, the word for world, cosmos, meaning objectively what they see in life. He says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. It is written. Well, where at? Let's go back to Job. Turn your Bibles back to Job chapter 5. And we see here in Job this quote taken from Job's life and his situation. You remember Job, he had so many different struggles going on, both physically and emotionally, the physical pain and struggles that he went through. And yet then we saw all of the things that he lost, his kids that died, his property that was destroyed or stolen, so many different things. And then he had some nice friends, right? And they came to encourage him and share how everything he did was wrong and why God was punishing him and so many different things. And they would go back and forth with their speeches and their arguments. Well, here in Job chapter 5, verse 21, Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. I think I wrote this passage down wrong. But as he was talking with his friend Eliphaz, and the reality that it was written that he said, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. See, God saw that man's wisdom isn't right. And Eliphaz was arguing with Job, you're looking at life through your own wisdom. He realized in some ways he was. God at the end spoke to him. But that Job could look back and say, it's of God. Remember his wife said, curse God and die? Well, is that godly wisdom or worldly wisdom? Sometimes life seems tough. We might as well just die and give up all. Well, is that godly wisdom or worldly wisdom? Worldly wisdom is foolishness with God. It may make sense to people. Why do people commit suicide? It makes sense to them. It's selfish and so many other things that we can look at, but it makes sense to them. But it's foolishness with God. Worldly wisdom is foolishness with God. Craftiness, trickery, again, being deceived in our own mind that I'm okay. I'm living life this way and it only makes sense to do this. We must always step back from our situations and look at God. And look at what God's perspective on life is. Deny the worldly wisdom because it is foolishness with God. But also in verse 20, we see that this worldly wisdom is vain or empty, profitless. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That they're vain, that they're empty. Romans chapter 1, 21, we see vain imaginations. Paul's writing to this church at Rome. And the reality of how they're looking at life through their way. We see many of these struggles from Romans chapter 1 in our own nation today. When we think of marriage and homosexuality and so many things that it's just okay. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, empty, profitless. This seems right. This seems okay. When we begin to justify, well, anybody can be married so long as they love each other. Anybody can do this so long as they are this way and it doesn't affect my life. We're not looking at life through the Word of God and God's perspective. It just becomes empty. I've seen the point even where someone was arguing why they should be able to marry in this building out in California. It just doesn't make sense. It's empty imaginations. It doesn't make sense. Worldly wisdom is empty. It's vain. Do I want that in my life? Focusing on this worldly wisdom is deception. I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want to live according to my own wisdom or the world's wisdom around me. Number two, focusing on the here and now is deception. I can't just focus on the here and the now either. It's not just, okay, the worldly wisdom, I understand that. I've got to look at life through God's way and God's perspective. It's empty, it's vain. But here we see verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Once again, don't focus on the here and the now. The word glory means to vaunt, to lift up. It's all about this. Don't glory in men. It's not all about men, even as we stop to remember Memorial Day. It's not all about these men. Man, we praise the Lord for these men and women who've given their lives for our nation. But it's about God and praising God for them. Here, even, Paul says, don't lift up Paul or Apollos or Cephas. You remember in an earlier section here in this passage, though, he said that there's the important aspects we each must serve. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's all about God. Don't focus on the here and the now and me and my responsibility or men or the leaders around me. Man, there's the responsibility, yes, we have to pay attention. They're useful. But it's not giving glory to them. It's not glorying in them. At the end of verse 22, Paul said, all are yours. Well, why did God give us other people? Why did God give us stuff? Sure, we enjoy it, and man, we're reminded that so easily it deceives us. Hebrews chapter 12, to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. We get deceived easily, but why did God give us these things? Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. God gave us all things, ultimately for His own glory. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, and by the way, aren't you thankful that includes us? We may not be rich in this world, but as we look at this passage here, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And this describes God here and what He's given, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I find it interesting here. He says, charge them which are rich in this world. Okay, there are those who have money and finances and a lot of material blessings. So charge them and encourage them, challenge them this way. But then at the end of this verse, he talks about how God gives who? Us richly all things to enjoy. God has given us so many blessings that we have. So many blessings. Just think about the breakfast you ate today. The reality that you had an option. And we think about many people early on in our nation's history who, this is what they ate for breakfast because that's all they had. We think of even the pilgrims and the food that they were limited to during the early days. There are so many blessings we have with food. There are so many blessings we have with material things. A roof over our head. Most of us came in a vehicle today. And we didn't have to walk however many miles from your house it was to church. Man, we're close. We're only like 4.5. Some of you are 20-some. And man, the blessings that God has given, or more, Megan, yes, I know, you came the furthest this morning. But so many blessings that we have, the richly, why? To enjoy. God has given us so many things that we can enjoy. But it's not to focus on the here and the now. Remember, Paul already said in that verse, don't trust in these uncertain riches, but in God who gives us all things to enjoy. Trusting in God. Focusing on the here and the now is deception. Don't just focus on the leaders of today. Paul said himself and Apollos and Cephas. We need to mark and follow them. Again, he already said there's the point that each of these men, myself included, he said, have a role in your life. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, he encourages the believers at Philippi to mark, to watch, to mark certain people as examples. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Again, he's saying back in 1 Corinthians to this church, he says, don't lift me up. Don't focus solely on me as a leader. But now he's saying, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample, an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame.
It'll work through it. The humidity always affects these sound systems. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Paul says, follow me, and even in another section, follow me as I follow Christ. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews says, the author and finisher of our faith, there are those that we can look up to and say, man, I want to follow God like they do. Paul, as he said, don't focus on the here and the now and just focus on the good leadership styles of the leaders. Follow them as they follow Christ. By the way, be that good leader because people are following you. People do look at you today and tomorrow. How is he living? How is she living? Not so that they can lift you up on a pedestal, looking up and saying, whoa, let's set this person high up. But the reality is we look at examples to follow. Paul says, mark and follow them. So 1 Corinthians 3 is saying, don't focus on the leaders of today to glory in them, to vaunt in them. In fact, up in verse 7, he had said, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. As much as I have a role and as much as Apollos has a role and Cephas, he said, it's all about God. And each of us play a role for God. So, focusing on the here and the now is deception. Oh, it's all about this leader, following this leader today. No, follow that leader as they follow Christ. And I trust as your pastor, you can follow me as I follow Christ. But follow leaders who follow Christ. Don't just focus on the leaders of today. Don't just focus on the knowledge of today. Again, verse 22, he didn't just stop at names. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Don't just focus on the knowledge of today, what we know today, the philosophy of life, the things around us. Knowledge is important. And for those of you teenagers, you still have to finish up your school year if you still have school. And it's important to learn. But the ultimate end of not learning is not just so you can build more knowledge for today, but it's so you can use that knowledge to glorify God. Because it's all about Christ. That's what this last section gets into. So Paul reminds us that focusing on worldly wisdom is deception. And that focusing on the here and the now is deception. But in verse 23, he says, focusing on God is truth. Focusing on God is truth. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's all about Christ. Here in verse 23, he says, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Now, if you take this out of context and you just completely take this verse, you could say, well, that means Christ really isn't God. He just belongs to God. No, Jesus Christ is God. We could look through so many different things. But we see there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We look at this verse, focusing on God is truth. Focus on God the Son. Memorial Day. We stop to remember those who have given their life for the freedoms we have here in the United States of America. Those who have fought in our military. But again, I'm just reminded of the one who gave his all for our ultimate freedom, for eternity, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
There is only one mediator between God and men, and it is the man, Christ Jesus, who being found in fashion as God, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Not just something human worldly reasoning, but it's all about who he is and what he's done for us. This Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who have given their lives, let's focus on God, because he is the truth. He is the reason we have the freedoms we have in America. Yes, we praise God for those who fought for our freedoms. They really did. They had a role, and a very important role. I praise the Lord for our military members. I never have been one, but I praise the Lord for those who have been. Each has a role. But ultimately, Paul says it goes back to God. Focus on God, because he is truth. Focus on God, the Son. You are his. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, he already said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in" who? You. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." You are Christ's, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, some in this room may not know Jesus as Savior. Jesus died for your sins. We've shared that throughout this morning. But why did he have to die? Because the wages of sin is death. My sin doesn't just separate me from God. It condemns me to eternity in hell. That's bondage. "There is none righteous, no, not one. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Are you Christ's? He died for you. Have you acknowledged your sin before God? Say, "God, I need you. I need Christ's forgiveness. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins and yours." And that's a decision each of us must make, to trust Jesus Christ. So focus on the Son. You're his, if you know Jesus as Savior. Focus on the Son, and focus on the Father. Again, Paul ends this passage and he says, "Ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." Now in John, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." You're in my hand, and my hand in the Father's hand. And no one, nothing, can pluck you out of my Father's hands. If you know Jesus as Savior, you can never lose your salvation. Praise God for that. But let's focus on him. Let's focus on him for how I will live this week. What difference will that make in my life? What difference will that make in the choices I make this week? I've been given that liberty to make choices. How will that be different because I'm focusing on God, not on worldly wisdom? How will that be different because I'm focusing on God and not just on the here and the now and what feels good and seems right? Focus on him. Life, 2018. At least for us here in South Central Michigan, seems easy. Yeah, we have our own struggles and battles, but man, we aren't in the middle of a war. We aren't in the middle of North Korea and South Korea and everything going on over there. We aren't in the middle of some of these other battling nations. We're right here in South Central Michigan. It's okay. But are we just going to get lulled in complacency? Or this Memorial Day weekend, will we remember the one who gave himself for us, that we can live for him this week? Focusing on Christ, because he is everything. There's an old song that says, "He is my everything, he is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me." Wow. Is he my everything this week? Yes, we take time this weekend to remember those who've given their life for us. But will you take time this weekend to remember Christ and focus on Him who gave His life for you? And as you go through life this week, to make those decisions that are all about Him. Because you are Christ's. Let's let Him make that difference. Father, we thank You for Your love.